This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Everybody loves the Harlem Globetrotters, and so do I. Join me as I get up close and personal with three of the members of one of the most beloved teams in all of sports, the Harlem Globetrotters, on This Lady Loves Sports.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports, she knows it all and ready to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
I am excited because the Globetrotters are here. What's up?
How y'all doing?
Hello.
It's awesome. You know, these great players, journeyman players and former NBA and WNBA stars and just really talented individuals, too, who can do something along with playing basketball that a lot of people can't do, have kept the Globetrotter tradition alive for years and years for so many generations. And I am delighted to welcome to the studio this morning. We have El Gato Melendez, who is
How
with us.
Doing?
How you doing?
Meow.
And we've got the lovely Champ Thompson with us today. How you doing, Champ?
How's it going, everybody? Doing well.
And also Zeus McClurkin is with us as well.
I didn't get an adjective. Everybody got a lovely... There we go.
The tall and handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Zeus McClurkin is with us today. And playing ball and entertaining people all around the world. How did you guys get started with the Globetrotters? We'll start with you, Agata.
In my case, It's a matter of faith in a way. I was finishing my last day of my contract playing competitive basketball, and I'm going into the restaurant across the street from where I live, and I bump to my good friend Sam Worthen, who happens to work for the Harlem Globetrotters, and we start talking, and he said, "Do you want to be a Globetrotter?" I'm like, "Yeah." And like 3 days later, I get the call, I go to the tryout, and I made it to training camp. And 73 countries later, 7 years, so it's been an amazing ride.
Yeah, it's been a blast, I'm sure. And how about you, Champ? How did you get hooked up with them?
For me, I had a pretty interesting road with the Globetrotters. Had some family connections. My grandfather was a Hall of Fame high school coach in Michigan, so he coached a Globetrotter, Barry Hardy. And I was drafted to the team. This is my rookie season. So after I graduated last year from Notre Dame, I was drafted into the team, and I'm super excited. We have a great rookie class, so we're having fun.
I can tell you guys are having fun. And Zeus, tall, handsome with the eyebrows and the eyelashes.
This is my eighth year. Thank you, Pat. This is my eighth year with the Globetrotters. Growing up, I had never really heard of the Globetrotters before. I saw them on Scooby-Doo, but I didn't realize it was a real team. You know, Batman's on Scooby-Doo. Like, I was like, this isn't a real team. But it was later on in life when I played against the Globetrotters for the Washington Generals that I found out that they were real. And my whole career, people had told me I was too nice and I smiled too much when it came to playing basketball. And they say in order to be good in basketball, you got to have this killer instinct and that mean demeanor that I never developed. And I was the type of player that I had people tell me, all you do is smile and dunk. And today, that's what the Globetrotters paid me to do, smile and dunk. So
exactly.
I get a chance to be myself on the court. So when I saw the Globetrotters, when I was playing against them for the Washington Generals, I did everything I could that year to be seen by them. And eventually they gave me a tryout, and I'm on the team today.
Well, I tell you, I saw recently a documentary about the Globetrotters and just learned a lot about the history. Mm-hmm. You know, when I grew up, when I was a kid in Brooklyn, New York, you know, we would go to see the Globetrotters, and they were always just so funny and so entertaining. I had an uncle who could, you know, spin the basketball and the whole thing too. Mm-hmm. But I did not know at the time of the deep history and the great struggles that the people who preceded you guys have
Absolutely.
Gone through. And I'm sure you all are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we stand on the shoulders of giants for sure. The Globetrotters have been around for 93 years, and it's because of the Harlem Globetrotters that the game of basketball is integrated today. You know, in 1948, we actually played the Minneapolis Lakers, and during this time, blacks weren't allowed to play in white-only leagues, so we weren't allowed to play in the NBA. And they were world champions at the time, but we actually ended up beating them by 1 point, and that led to the first African-American to be signed to an NBA contract in 1950. His name was Nat Sweetwater Clifton. He was the first African-American in the NBA. And then another story.
That's a great story about the color barrier being broken by the Globetrotters, mm-hmm. and there's also some gendered history there. In 1985, the first female Globetrotter was Lynette Woodard. She was the first woman to play on a men's professional sports team. Mm-hmm. She was a standout, you know, just an amazing Globetrotter, amazing role model, I think, for all Globetrotters, mm-hmm. especially ladies like myself who are now on the team. And in our history, we've had less than 20 women. And it's just super exciting and an honor to be able to go into an arena and carry on that legacy mm-hmm. for little boys, little girls, kids, and people of all different ethnic and racial backgrounds. You know, that's what the Globetrotters stand for. And it's awesome to continue that legacy.
Exactly. And what's it like for you to be a part of that whole diversity?
For me, being the first born and raised Puerto Rican in 93 years has been an amazing thing. You know, right now I'm the only Hispanic and Latino in the team, and to represent the not just Puerto Rico but all the Hispanics, especially here in Los Angeles. You know, that's a big Hispanic community, and when I see somebody that knows that I'm speaking Spanish and they just speak Spanish to me, and I go back and we kind of share a little story in the short time we talk, and they relate. Of what I'm doing, and feel so proud, even though I'm not from their country, is a great feeling, and to be part of such amazing, you know, team with great players, and each one of us have a unique story. It makes it even more special, especially when you get a chance to tell people that no matter where you're from, no matter how little the country is, what language you speak, you if you follow what you love and do it and work hard for it, you could do whatever you want to do in life.
Yeah, you can feel the camaraderie that you guys have, you know, that it's a team, more than a team. It feels like a family to me. And I think you guys are just as excited about being Globetrotters as everybody here is about seeing the Globetrotters. Why do you guys think that people love what you do so much?
We feed off of you guys. This year is our 2019 fan-powered world tour. And so we're actually getting the fans involved more than ever. The thing is, we perform at these high levels because of this rich history that we have. Every time we come to a city, even though people might not know us individually, they see this brand and they see the Harlem Globetrotters, and immediately it takes them back to a time in their life when they went to a game with their parents or with their grandparents. Mm-hmm. And you know, we put a smile on people's faces even though, you know, they don't know us individually. I think that's the coolest part about it. So we feed mm-hmm. off of that energy that you guys give us. In return, we just try to give it right back to you.
I got a cool story. Not long ago, I met this lady at the mall. I got this on, the whole uniform on, and she said, "My first date with my husband was a Harlem Globetrotter game." And I'm like, "That is awesome, man. How long you been married?" 52 years. And I was like,
"All right."
Oh, so here you go, people. If you're going to see the Globetrotters, bring your girlfriend, propose, and you guarantee you 52 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be happy, but it's going to be 52 years.
Be happy.
I think it's going to be awesome. You know, we're so excited here in Southern California about having you guys here. We've got three Globetrotters, completely different stories, and I'd like to hear a little bit about your background. First of all, we'll start with you, Agata. Where are you from?
I'm from Juana Diaz, Puerto Rico.
Oh, nice.
And the first Monterey Puerto Rican in 93 used to be part of the team.
What was your first exposure to the Globetrotters?
Scooby-Doo.
I think that's almost universal.
Scooby-Doo. and because, you know, back in the day, you had the 3 o'clock cartoons, and that's when you rush home after school, just watching cartoons for a little bit before your parents go watch the news at 5. And I remember, like it was yesterday, going in, turn the TV on and see the episode of Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters. And I remember how they met because they were trying to open a door in a cartoon and it just fell through the door. And who this guy's at? And I'm like, oh, wow, that's how cool. But I thought it were cartoons for a long time, like my teammate Zeus, until I saw them play on TV. And I never saw them play until I became a Harlem Globetrotter. And now that I became a Globetrotter, I see the importance of how they, all the things they've done for the game of basketball, you know, breaking barriers of gender and race, and also giving an opportunity as well for me to represent the Puerto Rico and the Hispanic community.
Yeah.
Around the world.
Very important, you know, as you trot the globe. Mm-hmm. And Champ, for you, tell us about where you're from and what your journey has been and how you first fell in love with sports.
Yeah, so I'm a military kid. Both my parents served 20 plus years in the Army. And so the question of where you're from is always a funny one for me because I moved around so much. But I spent a little bit of time in New Jersey, more time in Hawaii, and then I finished up high school in Texas. And so throughout that time, I was always playing basketball. I ran track. I swam. I just love sports.
Was your family athletic?
Yes, both of my parents. I'm the youngest of 6 kids, so all of my older siblings. And I just loved basketball. And my first introduction to the Globetrotters, I was 7 years old, living in Hawaii at the time. And the Globetrotters came to do a camp on the military base I was on. And so I got to hang out with the Globetrotters for like a whole week in the summer. And my coach at that camp was a Globetrotter by the name of Scooter. And Scooter holds some Guinness World Records. He has some amazing, magical basketball tricks. And he talked with me, and we played basketball, and we hung out, me and the rest of the campers. And I always remembered that camp as such a joyful, fun experience. And so when I ended up playing college basketball at Stanford and Notre Dame, after I was done and the Globetrotters reached out to me telling me that they wanted to draft me to the team this year, it was like a dream come true. You know, it's just
how did they find you?
Well, I played college basketball, and just every Globetrotter has to have a basketball background, and playing at the top level, we have a great recruiting staff. So we go out and find great basketball players all over the world, and that's kind of how they found me.
That's so funny going full circle like that.
Absolutely.
You know, when you were watching that, even when you participated in the camp, you know,
absolutely.
Did you imagine at all that you could see yourself in a Globetrotters uniform one day?
I just thought they were so cool. I mean, thinking about the trick shots and the magical ball handling skills, and then also realizing that this was a way to play professional basketball and also have fun, mm-hmm. and have a positive impact. And as I got older and started to understand that more, I realized what a great opportunity it is.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Zeus? Tell us your story.
Well, I played a lot of sports, too, like Champ when I was younger. But unlike Champ, I was not good in basketball. I didn't make my first team until the 11th grade. I actually got cut.
Where'd you grow up?
Columbus, Ohio, born and raised. I got cut, though, from 6th grade all the way to 10th grade. And then basketball just kept eluding me for some reason. That was my favorite sport to play, but it was the only one I wasn't good at. So,
were you tall then, too?
Not yet. Okay. So the summer of 10th grade, I drank a lot of milk, and I ended up finally growing 5 inches over the summer.
What?
Yeah, but I still wasn't very good, right? So this is awkward kid with big feet. And that was when, you know, my coaches would tell me, you know, you can play, man. You got to get toughen up and get a little bit more mean. And that just wasn't my demeanor. I was the type of player, if I foul you, I apologize for it, right? And my coaches hated that about me. And it was only later on that I learned how to really, you know, just fuel all these people telling me, no, 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 you weren't going to make it. You're not going to be anything in basketball. And I turned that into my fuel to push myself as hard as I could. And eventually I made a roster in college. I was a walk-on at North Carolina A&T, HBCU in mm-hmm. Greensboro, North Carolina. And I ended up on SportsCenter Top 10 Plays my senior year. And that kind of put me into the forefront of a couple of agents. And they gave me an opportunity to play overseas. That's where I really developed my game. And then I got the call about the Washington Generals. And I'm like, who are the Washington Generals? I've never heard of them before. And this guy said, don't worry about it because, you know, you suck at defense and you want to travel the world. I said, well, sign me up. That sounds like a great opportunity. And that was my introduction to the Globetrotters. And I saw saw them and I fell in love with the team, because what I recognize is everywhere that they go, they leave the city a better place than it was than when they first went in there, you know, and they're leaving that global impact everywhere that they go. And they're the hometown team everywhere they go. You guys got the Lakers here, but when the Globetrotters come into town, immediately we're heralded as the hometown team. And I love that. And I wanted to be a part of that rich history. So eventually they got tired of me dunking on them and they signed me over to a contract.
I think that's a good way to get started. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really kind of interesting to just to see the attraction that people have. I think that one of the things that the Globetrotters do, I guess I should say, is to bring communities together. Mm-hmm. You know, you find people who, and we live in such a divisive time now. I could imagine that the impact that you guys have as you travel around the world mm-hmm. is more important than ever. I mean, when I can see you guys representing the United States, really, yes, to the rest of the world mm-hmm. and putting out there a picture that mm-hmm. to me really is more like what this country is mm-hmm. like deep down inside. You know what I'm, mm-hmm. what I'm saying about
yes.
that?
Yes.
Do you feel that as you travel these days?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. You know, it's a big responsibility. You know, it's like we are going to be Globetrotters wearing the uniform or not wearing the uniform. You know, we always going to be representing the United States the right way, you know, in a positive thing. We walk into places and it's like, hey, you know, people look at us and they see you. Okay, he must play basketball when you don't have the uniform. But when they see the uniform, they're like, oh, it's something more than basketball. And a lot of people don't know we've been called by the Department of State to open up relationship with other countries. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the really cool things that when you find out when you get into the Globetrotters that, wow, we go beyond the game of basketball. And for me, as a Hispanic, it's also a way to represent the Hispanic. And like you mentioned, in a situation in the country that want to build this and want to do different things, you know, we just, you know, just try to do what I need to do in a positive way.
Yeah, and showing really visually also, because like I look at you, you know, we have a Latino, we have a woman, we have mm-hmm. a tall, handsome black man. Every time that was a slam dunk.
Oh yeah.
But I mean just to look at you and then to see the camaraderie that you have with each other, because you can feel it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's genuine. It's not something, you know, that feels fake at all, you know. So I'm kind of curious about what it was like when you first joined the Globetrotters and how that feeling kind of develops. How long have you guys known each other?
Well, this is my rookie season, so they've known me for a couple of months yeah. now. That
just
we've
a couple of months
together yeah. and doing a ton of media.
And she's
and
like
outreach.
One of the guys already.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like a brother and sister. You know,
yeah.
we brothers. We brothers. You know, we actually spend more time with each other than we spend time with our own families.
Yep.
You know.
Uh-huh.
You know, he has a dog that he loves as his kid. I have two daughters. And you know, they got to see my daughter say happy birthday yesterday. You know, uh-huh. and the little video. And this is our family, mm-hmm. and we had to take care of each other.
That's right.
We work hard, you know. She worked harder than us too, so we like, okay, she's working hard, we gotta get our act together, because she's doing something that we need to get better. And we always support each other and
push each other,
and you know, and inside the court and outside the court.
But it is a family, you know. I think everybody has a work family, but when your yeah. job involves traveling all over the world together, mm-hmm. that adds yes. a whole different element to it. But yes. I would imagine that makes life difficult for you too with your families. I mean, how often do you get to see your family?
It depends. It depends on the schedule goes. Sometimes if you have, like, we don't have summer. In my case, I cover a lot of Hispanic markets, so when it's not summer games somewhere, so I got a little more time to spend time with my family. But you know, we on the road 6 months, 7 months, it depends how the game goes. So
do you actually have a season? Is it, you actually have a season? Mm-hmm. What is your season from what to what?
The main in the United States starts in December,
mm-hmm.
and then moves into Europe and sometimes South America, mm-hmm. right, or Asia, or now we got guys that are going to go to Australia,
mm-hmm.
you know. But sometimes we go in between 6-7 months. We cover United States, Canada, all that, and then we get a little break, and then we go right back out again.
Yeah, primary season is basketball season.
Okay.
Yeah, outside
mm-hmm.
of that, we're always on call for anything that could come up, pop up throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I do see you guys popping up at different points in time in the year. Mm-hmm. A lot of logistics existing, right?
Lots of logistics.
Yeah, and a lot of Globetrotter teams. How many units are there? I mean, I would imagine that you've got a lot of ground to cover, you know?
We've got one team, but sometimes we go to three or four units. That's how we're able to cover so much ground. East Coast, West Coast Tour, European Tour, we're all over the place. But you know you're going to get a great, great show, great game, no matter what tour you end up showing up to. So, yeah.
So how about going all those places, you know, because you all have the perfect name. You really are covering the globe. Mm-hmm. But how much do you get to see of the places that you go? And what are tell me about some of the travel that you've had, some of the experiences that you've had that maybe you really enjoy. What are your favorite places?
Favorite place, definitely Los Angeles. Besides Los Angeles.
You know what to say, you tall, dark, and handsome.
So do you. You go, girl. No. I've only been to 25 countries around the world. My favorite place that I've been is Israel. I got a chance to walk the streets of Jerusalem. Wow. I'm a minister at my church, so that place holds a lot of history for me. I also went to France and saw the Eiffel Tower, and I was in my Globetrotter stuff, and I had a basketball with me, and they wouldn't let me take the basketball up there because they thought I was going to try to shoot it off of the Eiffel Tower. They were right.
But America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting a chance to go in all these places, sometimes we have the time to kind of immerse ourselves in the culture, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're just in a city for one night, and then we go to the next one. If you think about it, we're playing 320 games this year in over 260 cities. So it's a lot of ground that we have to cover, and sometimes we don't get that chance to really immerse ourselves in the culture.
Mm-hmm. What about some of your favorite places? Well, you traveled before the Globetrotters.
Yes. I was fortunate enough to travel with my family, being military, and then in college I got to travel a little bit as well. We went to Italy. We were just talking about that the other day. But with the Globetrotters, I've been only domestic so far, but it's been amazing. I've gone from coast to coast, north to south. And actually, our first day out of training camp, I was with old Zeus here.
Old.
And
yes.
We went up to the
Bay Area. Compared to champ, you probably are old.
Comparatively. We went up to the Bay Area, and we got to run Steph Curry through some of the Globetrotter drills, the three-man weave, which is something we
popularized.
I thought
he was already practicing some of this.
Exactly.
He looks like a Globetrotter.
He looks like a Globetrotter. He's so skilled, and we had so much fun. He threw an alley-oop to one of our teammates, and I just thought that as my first day as a Globetrotter, that was a great environment to be in. That was so much fun, and we've continue to have fun so far.
Yeah, you're like, I think I'll keep doing
this. Yeah, I think
this
works.
I think this will be okay.
All right.
What are some of your favorite places?
I've been to 73 countries. In my case, it's hard because it's always something unique about each place. It's always something that you remember that happened in some country or certain museum that you went. Like, I was super excited when I found out I was going to go to France this year because I want to go to the Louvre. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the Louvre like 4 or 5 times. And I'm like, I want to go again because mm-hmm. it's such an amazing place.
It is.
You know, when you go to Rome and see all the ruins and all the history, you know, Japan, go to Jerusalem and go and see and walk the streets that the Jesus walked at one point, and you sit down and have something from a local restaurant there and just get a chance to talk to somebody that remember us from back in the day when we went to visit the city, and they want to tell us that story, and you sit down having a conversation with that person about everything. And I think that's the cool part about when you travel. It's not like one specific place that you like. You like all the experiences that you get and all mm-hmm. the cultural exchanges that you get from each place you
go. You guys get a chance to go back to some of the places that you've mm-hmm. been right. before. I have a friend who says that when she travels, what she does is whoever she's with, she says, let's go wherever you would go. Where would you go? Where would you go to dinner? Yeah, take me to your favorite place. What's the place you take people to if they come to your town? And she said that she's ended up really seeing a lot of interesting things that way. But you think about the fact that some people never travel. Some people never leave where they live.
It's funny because I tell my uncle, I'm like, uncle, you got to travel a little bit. He's like, no, I don't need to. I'm like, why? Because every time we get together on Christmas, I want to hear your stories. I see your pictures. I kind of travel through you to all these places, and I feel that excitement when I tell him, yeah, I was in the desert with a couple of camels. And he's like, really? And how tall are they? They're taller than you. And then he's actually going through his head, imagine how tall the camel is compared to me and the sand. And he has a whole vision of what I'm saying. And he loves that. It's nothing better when I go and send pictures to my daughter or bring something from each place that I visit. You know, my youngest daughter, like, how you call the little bubble? The snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
So I pick up a little snow globe from every new country that I go. So she has
got a great collection.
Her little collection of snow globes from the countries that I go.
That's good. You know, so how has doing all this travel changed you? I mean, how has it shaped your worldview? And, you know, for those of us who do travel, a lot of times we want other people to have the same experience.
Yes.
And I think it helps in the evolution of a person, you know. How has it changed you guys? What have you learned that's important?
Yeah, I've learned quite a bit. I feel like I'm a more well-rounded individual now for all the travel that I've done. But I really just I find myself thinking sometimes, you know, I'll be in a hot tub in Rome somewhere, and I'm just thinking like, man, I wish my parents were here and they got a chance to experience this kind of stuff, because, you know, they worked so hard to get me where I am today. And, you know, the furthest they've been is Canada, you know, and they're fine with that, you know. But my goal has always just been to have these same life experiences with my family. And you speak about our family, and if we were able to maintain that family life balance, work-life balance, and my wife comes out to see me every city that I go to, like twice a month.
Oh,
we
that's
have a
great.
Nice little routine going, and so she's getting a chance to experience these places with me at the same time too, because I think it's very special that you get a chance to do it by yourself, but if you bring somebody else along with you, it means a lot as well.
That's right. You're sharing that experience, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and growing at the same time.
Yes.
You know, both of you mm-hmm. doing that. Yeah, how about for you, Champ?
Well, this is my first year out of college, and so I know I have so many more experiences to have and so much more to learn. What's been most impactful to me so far is we get to go into elementary schools mm-hmm. and children's hospitals or children's rehabilitation centers mm-hmm. in every city that we go to. And I actually got to go out to a school for the deaf because I learned sign language while I was in college. And so being able to relate to children that maybe can't communicate verbally or that are sick and, you know, have never had the chance to make it out to a Globetrotter game mm-hmm. to get to bring a little bit of that Globetrotter magic into those schools and impact those children and their parents and the nurses and the doctors, that really shows me like, hey, I have a lot of power here to do for good and to help people and bring a positive impact. And that's very humbling. It's a responsibility, but it's also a ton of fun because we go into these places and it's like a big party and everyone leaves having that piece of Globetrotter magic.
Yeah, you guys, mm-hmm. when you go to a place, when you leave it, everybody's happy.
Absolutely.
They're happy to see you when you get there, and they are delighted after you leave for a while. You know, you leave that feeling.
Absolutely.
It's just so much fun, you know, to watch the shows and everything. But I wanted to talk about one last thing before we close, and that is the great history of the Globetrotters. I know there are a couple of documentaries documentaries out there. I saw one just recently that I just thought was stunning and just so beautifully done, that tells the story of this great organization and kind of underscores the importance of the big job that you guys have of continuing the legacy that they have created. And I'm sure all of you know about it. Talk a little bit about the history of the Globetrotters and some of the wonderful contributions that they've really made to our society.
Well, we started in 1926 in Chicago, Illinois. And people still this day still don't think we, you know, they think we're from Harlem, New York, because of the genius, pretty much to say, way to market the team by the guy who created the team, which was a white Jewish man called Abe Sabistein. So he created the team out of Southside Chicago, went to a place called the Savoy Five and picked up the best African-American basketball players he can find at that time. And then something really cool happened in 1930s, which was the Harlem Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And now, because of that, he decided to change the name to Harlem so everybody thinks we were famous. And then he put Globetrotters so everybody would think that we travel around the world. But the funny part is they did not play outside of Chicago for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
but he had a vision.
But he had a vision. And eventually, you know, through the history, we fought through civil rights movement, segregation. We followed Martin Luther King and the rallies and played two games, one for blacks, one for whites. And eventually we had one game. Once I was black, once I was white. And eventually everybody got mixed
up
together.
And look how different it is now.
Mixed up together. Yeah. And in 1950, we have the first NBA black basketball player in the NBA from the team. 1985, Lynette Woodard came in. And we traveled all these countries, open up the game of basketball for countries that didn't have running water or electricity. And we just bringing the game of basketball to all these places around the world. I mean, we had played for just one person. And when you look, it's the Pope, just him, clapping an entire game. Just situations like that, we have gone through all these 93 years expanding the game of basketball, and also the goodwill. That's why they call us Ambassadors of Goodwill. You know, open a relationship with different countries. We entertain the troops. We've been doing it for 75 years. Mm-hmm. We visit all as many American bases we can all around the world to bring a little happiness and joy to these guys and women and men that are defending our freedom. And that makes you understand when you say, well, thank you for your service. But once you in there and you see what they're going through and where they at and the environment, and you understand. And we try to pass that on to the new generations coming. You know, like, she's a rookie, she's gonna learn more and more and more, she's gonna fall in love more and more with the history of the Harlem Globetrotters. And we want also the people, the new generations that hear the stories from grandpa or about Meadowlark or Curly, and they create that curiosity to teach them how important the Harlem Globetrotters are.
Yeah.
Beyond the game of basketball.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an important responsibility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. I think as a rookie, it's my responsibility to learn as much from these guys and other veterans as possible, because it's on us to carry that forward. Not that these guys are going anywhere. If you've seen them dunk, you know their legs are still really, really fresh, so they'll be around. But it is a special responsibility.
I think it's terrific. And, you know, Pastor Zeus.
Oh.
Amen.
I know that the legacy, it means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Mm, it's a huge responsibility, though, too. So when you're walking into a room, you realize you're carrying a 93-year history on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a little daunting sometimes, but it's an honor at the same time. So we take it very seriously, and we don't take it lightly. And we do our best to just give you guys that same memory and just try to sweeten it. You know, we our CEO gave an analogy one time that, you know, we just have a torch, and it's just our job to do the best that we can with this torch while it's in our hands until we pass it on to the next person.
Amen. I love that. Love it. All right. Can y'all whistle?
I can.
Okay. Gato's our whistle.
Come on, Gato.
what you want?
Sweet Georgia Brown. Sweet Georgia Brown. What do you think?
No, Bruno Mars. I have two whistles at the same time. All right, hold on. Can't do it without laughing.
What do you want?
Okay, yeah, he can't whistle and laugh at the same time.
I have a request.
That is my request.
Don't make me laugh. I can whistle when I laugh.
Don't look at him. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. I love it.
Hey. Take me to church. Take me to church.
Big finish. Big finish.
Hey.
Theme song.
Nice job, Gato.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This has really been fun. Gato, Champ, Zeus, love you guys. Thank you so much for sharing some of your story and for representing us so beautifully around the world. It means a lot to everybody here at home and especially to a bunch of little kids and a bunch of old kids like me, too. So thank you all very much.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you so much.
I'm Pat Prescott. This lady loves sports and she loves these Globetrotters.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.